Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm enjoying the cup of coffee that you've made for me.
Good. Good. Well, you're welcome.
Oh, I'm enjoying the soft feel of your sofa cushions gently clasping me.
They're clasping you?
That's what they do, isn't it?
They need a wash.
That's what they do, isn't it? Clasp.
I guess. Do they?
Or should they just support?
Well, just support.
Well, this is clasping.
You like this, like I'm doing with my hand.
Well, you're not literally supporting me.
No. It was miming. Those are cushions from Bruges.
Oh, yes.
I bought them in Bruges.
There are two cushions resting upon David's sofa. They have stags dressed in Elizabethan-type attire, would you say?
Fancy attire, anyway.
Attire. They're from Bruges.
From Bruges.
I hope that improves your podcast listening.
It's a bit like the quiz show catchphrase, this podcast, isn't it? As we slowly build up the picture of what it looks like as we record it, you know. You see, when we remove another square and people go, oh, it's like an old friend returning.
Mm. Well, I went to the cinema, as usual.
Yeah.
I went to see one of the summer blockbusters, Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne. He has returned.
Yes.
It's not called Reborn, is it?
No, just called Jason Bourne.
Like they did with Rambo and Rocky Balboa.
So it was the Bourne identity.
They didn't do it with Rambo. The new one wasn't called John Rambo, was it?
No.
But they did it with Rocky Balboa when some time had passed, and then they needed a first film that was also the seventh film.
Can you name the three Bourne films?
The Bourne Identity.
Yeah.
Then there is the Bourne Supremacy, where he does not reign supreme, but he does give an ultimatum. And then there's the Bourne Ultimatum, where he does not give an ultimatum, but he does reign supreme at the end.
And after that, there was the...
Then there was the one with Jimmy Bobo from the Avengers.
Yeah.
And what the hell was that called?
Rachel Weisz.
Was it called Rachel Weisz?
No, it was called Shitborn.
Shitborn. Stillborn.
Still Airborn. Not Stillborn. That's horrible.
Stillborn. It's still a Bourne film, guys. But it did not generate a new franchise, did it?
Bornos, they're called.
Bornos. What was that one called?
Hardborn.
Hardborn? No. Was it? Highborn?
No.
Highborn!
I mean, Bourne is one of the... turns out one of the most flexible names.
It is. They could keep going and going, like Carry On.
I'm surprised they had Carry On Bourne. I'd like to see Carry On Bourne.
Yeah.
It works with everything.
It does.
So, this was Jason... I mean, Jason Bourne, probably one of the worst titles you could have, considering what we've just been through.
I mean, and we did that in 5 minutes. Imagine if someone paid us for a whole day to come up with Bourne names. We'd come up with loads.
There'd be franchise after franchise. And that day, we'd be working till he's 100.
Yeah. Bourne Slippy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, I went to the cinema.
You tried and failed. That's right. Did you enjoy the previous Bourne films? Did you go to see this because you thought it might be good, or because you had a tedious duty to see a current film?
Well, it's summer blockbuster season,
yeah,
and which means there are only a certain type of film Which are ones that appeal to
big
masses.
Bang kaboom. Yeah.
I didn't. What's weird, I think this happens for most people, is that the Bourne films have somehow merged into some sort of weird amorphic, is that the word?
Amorphous?
Amorphous sort of blob of a film in my subconscious that I don't really know which film is which.
Yeah.
Just a general
the
feel.
The first one that had quite a feel of an independent
Run,
European
Load, the girl
film.
From Run, Load, Run in it.
Yeah,
really
yeah. Is, and it's got Clive Owen in it.
Mm.
And that really weird guy who he fights in the kitchen with a pencil. But it's... and it, the first one I think is genuinely great, and it's quite character-driven. You know, the fight scenes are excellent, but they're sort of few and far between.
Yeah.
And then it all gets a bit American homogenous in the second and third. Still enjoyable films, but it does get a bit... So, have they maintained the sort of feel of it, or was...
This film is shit.
Oh!
It is... I mean, there's been stuff in the press saying that Matt Damon only says 288 words.
Mm-hmm.
It is just almost as if someone has done a spoof of the Bourne films. It's just that... Dun, 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 dun. I've actually done it, been in a spoof of the Bourne films.
You have? I saw it.
My friend James Branch, not me, he made... It's a brilliant... I can say it's brilliant because I didn't make it. He took bits from the Bourne Ultimatum. He went to Waterloo Station, this is 7 years ago, and he intercut bits of us on the same location with the film, and it sort of works as this sort of Bourne thing.
That's the bit with Paddy Considine, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll put it on... Film Fandango page, but I'll put it on there again. Anyway, this feels a bit like that. It's just literally that whole... the string music... running around crowds, trying to save someone, and then cut to a computerised office, people saying, where is he? Get the asset. Protect. Get the asset. Where's your location? I've lost you. Team B down.
Yeah.
Get the asset. It is that over and over again. It felt like I was in some strange time loop of just watching the same sequence, but just in a different city.
Well, that's a shame, because the first one, again, I'm only going back to the first one so much because I know it better than the others, but it had very little of that, actually. You didn't know how close behind him they were, and that made it more tense. You know, he just suddenly, you know, they'd be there and just like, oh, shit. There was only that incredibly comic bit in the first one, actually, that was a bit like that, where they activate all of their sleeper agents, and it's a bit... It suddenly goes a bit Mission Impossible instead of an actual spy thing.
Well, that scene when Paddy Considine's in Waterloo Station is brilliantly done.
Yeah.
I think it's really exceptional. What they've done is just copy that scene with less effect. And if you just take the music away, it's just that... It's just this string, this sort of deep sort of... Is it cello? I don't know what the instrument is. It's just people walking around, wobbly cameras, or NYPD blue, holding the camera slightly shaking, close-ups, people looking, walking around. I mean, all Matt Damon has to do is pretty much just walk down into a few crowds.
Well, all of his hard work was done in the gym beforehand, wasn't it?
Oh, he does look very muscly.
I mean, I've only seen the trailer, but...
When I went for a wee afterwards, because I managed to hold hold the whole thing. I mean, no one go for a serious toilet in the cinema.
A serious toilet? No.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's true. I was going to say I once walked in on a girl in a disabled loose at the Warner Brothers cinema going serious toilet, but of course, how would I know? I just remember she was sitting down.
Yeah. Anyway, and the person in the row next to me was talking to another bloke, and he said, "Yes, he's a." Matt Damon, they were talking about Matt Damon bulking up, and one of them said, "Yes, he's a bit of a brute, isn't he?" And then they walked off. I don't know if they were looking at each other's penises or not.
No, and now you never will.
No. It was full of a lot of, this was on a Monday morning, a lot of 40-year-old men like me.
Sure, who remember better times.
Watching it by themselves.
The Bourne films were very influential. Not in terms of storytelling or anything in particular, but in terms of the look and feel of spy stuff.
Yeah.
Is it that we've seen so many copies of this now that this now feels outdated?
Well, it just was exactly the same as the previous films, without having any of the plot, and it's just, oh, right, Bourne is somehow getting dragged Jason Bourne, who's, you know, been off limits for a while, is somehow getting dragged back into it. Oh, no, the previous young lady is a bit too old now.
Julia Stiles.
Yeah, and she's going to be updated with Alice Vikander as the new sort of...
You know, oh, really? She's being phased out, is she?
Almost. You can almost see the Hollywood people in the back. You can hear them whispering, yeah, she's just too old, so if we can just phase her out, and then who's the latest pretty girl? Okay, just go, if you could just pass that baton on to her, please. There we go, and everyone's happy. Matt Damon, he's sort of approaching 45. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, he's fine.
Doesn't matter. I mean, look at his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can
really
see that.
Disappointing.
Also, who, really who have they replaced Brian Cox with? Because...
Oh, yeah, Brian Cox is replaced with... What's his name?
Brian Cranston?
No, it's guess. Just really... Tommy Lee Jones, of course.
Okay, I like him. I mean, he could basically just be doing his character from The Fugitive again.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. Tommy Lee Jones is doing that. Vincent Cassell is playing the evil guy. It's really dull.
Mm.
It's just a copy just for money. Just copying the previous ones and just setting up another sequel later on. They're now Matt Damon somehow back in the... they basically replaced Treadstone, which was the old thing.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
With
what is Treadstone?
Yeah, so the Treadstone Files. Oh, there's a new undercover thing that we know about called Iron Hand. And that's just mentioned. Oh, what people find out about Iron Hand? What is Iron Hand? Oh, it's exactly the same as Treadstone. British. Well, hopefully, we can get three films out of it.
Who's naming all of our projects? Yeah. Why are they all named after Games Workshop characters?
It's just a lot of computers sort of up things uploading, tracing things on the computer. There's nothing of any interest in it. I found it so boring.
I mean, the first story was about a man with no memories falling in love, basically, and then discovering that his past that he knew nothing about was putting the person he had fallen in love with in danger. That was that's a good story. The second one was a bit, he's out for vengeance because of stuff that happened. And the third one I thought was like, I don't really know what this is. This is just sort of doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to end the story, actually. And so to carry on is a bit...
It's just
mental.
A rubbish reboot, really.
Right.
But Matt Damon's still there. This is a story of Hollywood executives attempting to cash in, doing very little work. I'm surprised that Paul Greengrass didn't really put a spin on it. I mean, I don't know why...
Because he's back, isn't he? He's directing it again.
I don't know why he needs to do it. I don't know why... I just think he hasn't done anything that... There's nothing that... Just, you've done it all that already, mate.
I mean...
He wrote it as well.
They must have written a very big paycheck. I mean, for Matt Damon to come back as well, and presumably if they're setting up sequels, he's signed up for more than one.
This is probably his last action, though, isn't it?
I suppose. Well, I don't know. Jason Statham's in his 40s.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing action films.
Are you? When are you doing yours?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm doing one.
Oh, you need a plan.
Pie Man.
Pie Man?
Yeah.
Pie Man doesn't sound buff, you know? But maybe that's the irony of the title.
A lot of the bakeries like Greg's and Percy, what's it called, Ingalls, are just fronts for drugs.
Right, and so you're going to go after them. Oh, so you are the man they send after the pies.
Yeah.
Okay. What sort of pithy one-liners does he do?
Stop that!
That's good, I like that.
Get out of it!
Because puns are a bit old hat, aren't they?
I'm going to use all the lines that parents use to tell off their children.
What did I just say?
I'm going to do that sound. Well, it's not even a word, Wayne. It's a threat, but not vocalised. It's even scarier.
Yeah.
So the equivalent, the man will be about to shoot me, and I go...
But he just hesitates.
Because what I'm doing is I am somehow channeling into their subconscious of... Their parents doing it.
Yeah, and they probably had quite strict or overbearing parents if they're bad guys now.
They didn't really have many... No, they didn't. The opposite, I think.
What, you think they had hippie parents and that's why they're now
murderers?
No, the
murderers. Bad guys didn't really have any discipline. So there's...
No, but I mean overbearing, like too much.
I think they're complicated characters, like the bad guys.
Sure.
That buys me. These parental turning off things and teacher things buys me an extra second. And in that second, I'm able to do fight scenes.
To twat up their shit.
Yeah. Ramming a hole. Literally, there's a pasty.
Yeah.
Put it in someone's mouth. Bam! That's all about that noise. Slammed it right the way back into it. It goes right the way back into that throat. Snaps the what's the neck,
the spine.
The spine, yeah, top of the spine off.
What, with a pasty?
I put a pasty in their mouth and I hit it so hard it slices the bottom of the head off.
I mean, that is hot.
It's hot and hot because it's so
hot. You'd have to hit a pasty really hard.
If you hit the right place, it's slightly burnt.
The right place on the pasty.
Right place on the pasty.
Like on an egg.
It's a 1 in 8 billion chance.
Sure.
And it sears all the way through the head and decapitates. The top of the head's gone from a pasty.
Oh wow. It sounds good, this film.
That, I mean, I don't really like, but all the fight scenes do involve
pastries of some kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get the money. So you get the you get sponsorship.
Yeah. Well, and British people love a pie, don't they? So
that's how the drug barons took over.
Pies.
Yeah. So Jason Bourne, do not go and waste your money seeing this. Wait, just
how many Marics?
Four.
Wow. Okay. No, because I was interested. I looked up on Rotten Tomatoes how much it got, and critics had given it 53 overall. So they do not like it.
That's generous. But because I like the whole... I really like the music. I like the way it's shot. I like that style. I really like the first ones. It's a really great, unique sphere that's got to it.
Right.
The Bourne trilogy. You know, it's got the whole thing. It really feels like a Bourne. Like a new Bond in many ways. A better Bond, I think.
Well, it put a nail in the coffin of Bond a bit, where Bond was like, crap, they're doing Bond better than Bond.
Yeah, but it's just got... It's just, I think, it's had its day.
Okay. Okay, well, there's Jason Bourne. Or, do you know his real name?
Yes. Matthew...
Perry.
Reed, I think it is.
No, it's David Webb.
Oh, that's it, David Webb, yeah.
Yeah.
I got one of your names, though, didn't I?
You did get one of my names. That's true. Right, well, I think it's time for this. This is from James Childs, and it's with regarding to Wi-Fi in residential homes. Dear David Marek, buddy, and the fine members of the emergency services in the background, don't bother with accents, just be yourself. Thank you. First, the serious bit. On episode 243, Independence Day Resurgence, you wondered whether old people's homes have free Wi-Fi. I can't speak for all homes, of course, but until about 18 months ago, I worked in a local authority in southern Scotland, and they were in the process of installing Wi-Fi in all their residential homes for older people, for a variety of reasons. To give the residents more independence, access to the internet for shopping, to FaceTime relatives, etc. The same stuff that the rest of us take for granted, and also for visiting relatives to use for much the same reasons. So there you go.
That is a great answer.
It's an excellent answer. FaceTime I hadn't considered, because of course, once they've taught them to just press the button when it rings, that's, you know, nice, isn't it? That's nice. Although Skype never works. Second, film stuff. On the theme of ageing, are there films that you thought were boring as a kid but adults liked that you have now watched as an adult and realised that they were right all along? Probably the standout case for me was It's a Wonderful Life, which I thought was boring, corny rubbish as a kid but now regard as an iconic piece of film craft. Of course, films are usually aimed at a certain audience, but it's nice to remember that we were all opinionated idiots in our youth. Pip pip, and keep watching the films. James. So... the first VHS I was ever bought, or rather ever owned, but was bought it. It was a gift, because I didn't buy VHS when I was a kid, was Kez.
Oh, really?
Didn't get it. I was, like, six. Like, it was dull and weird and sad. And, you know, now I've rewatched it, and it's just like, yeah, Brian Glover's bloody great. Mm. It's excellent. It's excellent.
I remember watching 2001... the start of it when I was really in my early, maybe about 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And thinking this is just really weird and rubbish and really slow. Very wrong.
Not wrong. It is weird and slow, but it is also good.
Yeah, I didn't have the patience then.
Yeah.
What put me off films when I was younger was the relentless, terrible westerns that are on television.
Yes.
That would really remind me that it was Sunday afternoon and it was school time. Just those terrible churning out John Wayne westerns.
You know what I always used to get very frustrated with was, similarly, probably those westerns were culprits in this as well, was really long title sequences with just music and the actors' names very slowly coming up on cards in those old Sunday afternoon films. You're just like, oh, get on with it. I hated an overture when I was a kid. Hated an overture.
But now I find it really offensive when people put the credits to one side and speed them up.
Yeah.
Person's worked on that film. Just going, no one's going to read this. Totally pointless. Just don't put them there if you're going to do that speed up thing.
It's true.
But I think I think that scarred my opinion of Western so much. I've got this sort of nostalgic hate
of Western. I'm the same. I'm exactly the same.
That ultimately think it's going to be terrible. That was some good questions. Thanks, James Charles.
Thank you.
Here's another letter. This is from Philip.
I like how you pronounce his name.
Subject. Well, this is going to be weird. Subject is pity sex. Given your desperate plea for letters, here is a pity email. Given Merrick's comments on watching sex scenes with his mum, two questions. This is from a previous episode where...
this needs context, I feel.
Yeah, this wasn't our mum. Let's watch some...
Mum, where are you going? It's sex scenes night.
This was accidentally watching, sort of, when I went back to home to a while back, and both of the films we started to watch had sex scenes at the start of them, so we thought, let's watch something different. Anyway, first question, which is the best sex scene in film?
Wow.
Two, what sex scene would you watch with your mum?
Would you watch?
Yeah, for pity's sake, no accent. I mean, you're asking for you've got some very obscure questions. Alternatively, give him out, drive a lovely film on whimsy, thank you. Which is worse, whimsy or kooky? They're the same, aren't they?
I don't know the difference.
I particularly find Zooey Deschanel irksome. Tara bit. What does that mean? I don't know. Which is the best sex scene in film? I don't really...
I mean, when you say best, that needs some clarification for me, because, of course, sex scenes are supposedly supposed to be, you know, narrative devices. They're supposed to show us something about the characters. Whereas it sounds like by isolating them, you want us to say which one is the best to jack off to, and that's the different thing.
That's what you're basically saying.
That's basically what you're saying.
Well, I'm going to pass that one.
You can find the answer to that just on Google, I imagine. I'm sure there's lots of threads devoted to it on forums.
One of the most famous ones. I mean, Basic Instinct's probably the most famous sex one. 9 1/2 weeks, they're probably the most famous ones.
Yeah. What's it called?
Blue is Warmest Colour. I mean, that was quite a famous sex scene.
Betty Blue. That's a famous sexy film.
Well, watch those if you just want to, or alternatively, just watch some pornography.
Pornography is crammed full of sex scenes.
Yeah.
It's almost exclusively sex scenes.
It varies the plot. What sex scene would you watch with your mum? I mean, I wouldn't... There's no sex scene I would actually...
I find that question a bit threatening.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And finally, which is worse, whimsy or kookie? I think they're the same.
I think they're certainly related. They're definitely cousins.
Thanks, Philip. I mean, they are interesting questions.
Thanks, Philip.
Okay, here is...
We're ploughing through them now. Come on. Hi, guys. In the style of a New York cab driver, if you feel inspired. What's a New York cab driver?
Why, boy.
I mean, they're not going to know what I'm saying.
Just do
it. Why. Hey, you guys. I discovered your podcast a few months ago, and I've been enjoying it thoroughly on my drives to and from work. Since then, must say, David, the frequency of emergency sirens in your neck of the woods is pretty intense. Plus, creates quite a weird effect when I'm listening in the car. Cue frantic, where's the police looks around the place. Anywho's. I've been meaning to catch Locke for some time, but it doesn't seem to be on any streaming services at the mo. Your discussion of it got me thinking of best one-room stage play-like films. I've recently seen Polanski's Carnage, which is absolutely superb, especially for anyone with young kids. Still trying to track down a copy of his Death and the Maiden, Ben Kingsley and Sigourney Weaver, from a few years back. Another couple of faves that fit that criteria. Talk Radio, a film that seems to not really be on the radar, but I reckon was incredibly compelling. Can't see why it's not regarded as a classic. Eric Bogosian's fantastic in it.
I remember catching an old western called the Oxbow Incident years ago, which was pretty much all set round one campfire and has stuck with me down the ages. What are your favorite of this type of movie? Anywho, I'm at my day job. Best get back to work. KWTF. Keep watching the films, that's what that means. All the best, Jules Lawrence.
We call them bottle episodes, which is a term from television, which doesn't quite fit films because they're not episodes. But yeah, all set in one place. We have discussed this before. It's a good topic because they are an excellent thing, aren't they? We're going to discuss one next week, in fact. So stay tuned for that. But other ones?
There was one in the lift when it's called The Devil or something.
The Devil! The Devil! It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, that was average. I haven't seen The Disappearance of Alice Creek, which is supposed to be.
I've not seen that either.
There's that hot The Cube, which is a pretty much.
The Cube's sort of the go to one, isn't it? Because they turn one room into 1,000 rooms, which is very clever.
I mean, that's what low budget films do a lot, where they just use that, try and find a way of doing it. There's one I talked about a few months ago, I can't remember the name, as usual, where they go from house to house, they're stuck in a weird time loop and they use the same house and there's other versions of themselves, which is quite weird.
I mean, it's whether we're talking specifically about films that are entirely, without exception, set in one room, or ones that have limited it hugely to one space. Because Dog Soldiers, for instance, there's some stuff at the beginning in a forest, but the rest is in one cottage. Which I think is a really fun film. There's also Reservoir Dogs, actually, apart from the stuff walking down the street in a car and then in around a table, everything else is in that one warehouse, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that wins.
Reservoir Dogs wins?
Yeah.
Okay, you've won. Well done, Quentin. Your certificate is in the post.
What are we going to talk about now? What film?
Well, you saw a film that I also saw relatively recently that you wanted to discuss, didn't you? So, why don't you tell us about that?
So, I was on the internet.
You and your internet.
And I was looking on Netflix and I thought, do you know what? I'll just try something I hadn't seen.
Mm.
Always a good thing to do is to go to the classic films or cult films, or what's it called? Not award-winning films. There's a section which is called
critically acclaimed
films. Mm. So normally that's a good way of doing things. And I saw a film called The Warriors. Hadn't seen it before. 1979 film. I thought I'd try this out. I fancied watching something from the sort of 70s.
Yeah.
The glory years. Late 70s to mid 80s.
When mainstream films could be a bit weird.
Yeah. Great years of cinema.
If you don't know The Warriors, it's a film about. Is it New York or LA?
So it's
Chicago.
It's about gangs in New York.
New York. And it's a gang who are called The Warriors, and they wear sort of red waistcoats and bandanas and stuff. And there is a gang meet of all the gangs in New York. And there, the king of the gangs, because that's the thing that exists, gets assassinated, basically, and the warriors get framed, and they have to make it across town at night without getting wiped out by any of the other
gangs.
They've
come down from Coney Island, from their
that's
turf,
right,
to meet in this central, in a park in New York somewhere, and they have to get back, and the word is out to all the other gangs, because there was going to be a truce.
They broke the peace.
They broke the peace, and all the other gangs were out to get them. From the moment it started, I loved this film. It is a totally a boys' film. It's a boys'
sort of
film
is.
For people my age who are nostalgic.
I mean, there's one gang with girls in it, and it's the girls' gang, and their special thing, because it's a bit like an Odyssey, where every gang they meet is a bit different, and you know, their thing is kissing and dancing.
It's just the opening sequence is so that period, like 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
It's the underground going through different cuts of sort of 80s, this really terrible 80s sort of synth music, and all the gangs coming in. There's like a cool, these black guys and with afros wearing these purple stuff. There's,
I mean, it's really ridiculous.
There's a gang of mime artists called the Hi-Hats who are dressed in white faces with red hats and braces.
It's a bit like a 60s Batman film, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's got that... It's like all the henchmen gangs meeting in the center.
It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And at the time, it was... It caused, I read up on it, caused quite a lot of problems because lots of the gangs, because gangs were a big thing then in the late 70s, and a lot of gangs went to see this film, and there were some fights, and a couple of people got killed in screenings.
Why?
And it just...
Because they were there at the same time.
Because there were rival gangs going to watch the screenings, and it was pulled in some places.
Wow. Because
it was so popular. But there's an... I mean, you could say it's violent, but... Compared to today's violence,
it's really not. No,
it feels as though it's got this odd, charming innocence to it.
It feels to me, or certainly it felt this way when I was watching it, that it's got some similarities to Ozploitation films, which are the Mad Max era of sort of crazy, sort of youths just in their own world kind of thing. You know, it's got that sort of. Everyone's just a bit nuts. But do you know what I mean? No, in a good way.
I love the feel of it. I love the music. I love all the gangs. You know, there's a whole gang coming up. It felt as though this influenced that old arcade game, Double Dragon. Definitely.
It's
just a rip off of this. I really loved all the costumes. And it's different. I mean, you could say now it's a real culture of individualism. And everyone's trying to be individual. You know, there's no such thing. I really like the fact they all wear the same stuff and they're really proud to be in their gangs.
But you love tribalism, don't you? I mean, in an ideal world, we'd be out in the streets defending our turf.
Absolutely perfect. Wearing the same...
I mean, Wolfsball's your way of trying to start that ball rolling, isn't it?
Yeah, so wearing purple waistcoats.
Yeah, yeah. And engaging in violent sports. It's funny you should mention Double Dragon because the... computer game studio Rockstar, who made the Grand Theft Auto games quite famously, tried to segue into a Warriors franchise, but in like the 2000s.
They made a game with
the Warriors. It didn't do very well, so they went back to the Grand Theft Auto ones. But basically, Warriors was Grand Theft Auto, you know, but you've got your tribes and your different... It was high camp, so less sort of mundanely boring as the Grand Theft Auto game. But, it's a proper cult classic, isn't it?
I think it's brilliant. I just think... I love the innocence of it. I said before, even though it's a violent film, it sounds odd saying that.
Mm.
And there's some great performances in there. And I like the mix of odd people. Like the gang on roller skates. You sort of don't know what's going to happen. The gang dressed as baseball players. I really love...
It's a bit like The Wiz. Have you seen The Wiz?
I think The Wiz is
based on this a bit. It's
really obscure. It takes place over one night, so it helps accelerate the plot in that way. And I can see why it's a cult film. You just turn your brain off and just enjoy it for what it is. It is quite camp and quite odd.
Yeah,
it's not the film. That I don't think it really maybe did intend to be this film.
Well, it isn't a critically acclaimed film. That's the thing. It is definitely in the cult classic pile, rather than the one that was just like all the newspapers were like, oh, incredible.
I love the shots. I think the fight scenes are really good. I love the way it's shot. I love the film. I love that sort of deterioration of the film, the way the film stock looks.
Is The Warriors the one? Because it was probably a year ago I watched it now, where the bad guy, there's that one shot where he's got bottles on his fingers and he's clinking them and going, yes. Warriors!
Yes, that's
come
it,
come out to play! Apparently he just ad-libbed that whole thing with the bottles. It's really weird.
I really love this film. I'll give it 9 Mareks. If you're... not Boise, you probably won't like it, but I would highly recommend it for people who are exactly like me.
Okay, and if you are exactly like Marek, then they're...
Unlucky.
Unlucky, mate. Well, that's The Warriors. Where did you find it? Netflix, did you say?
Netflix,
although other services are available. That's probably enough for this week, do you think?
Quite enough.
If you'd like to write in and add to our increasing pile of letters, thank you all for doing that, then go to our website, filmfandango.com, and you can fill in the form there and we'll get that. Or Why not donate towards our running costs by going to the same website and clicking the donate button? Everyone who has, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.